Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I'm Joe Scrabbles. I'm joined by yes, Simon Cardi.
You beat me to that,
the catchphrase,
man. You stopped me from doing it.
I can't believe
I've got a little catchphrase.
Where he says,
well, we haven't introduced our guest this week
yet. No, we are joined excitingly by Max Scoville from the San Francisco office.
How's
Hello,
it going?
Max, how are you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's no good.
It's a special treat. It's been almost a week since I did a podcast of any sort.
Exactly.
It's going slowly mad.
As you established beforehand, you are allowed to swear on this one.
I'm so fucking excited about saying the F words and the S words. I don't know why that's a rule in the States. A bunch of fucking Puritans.
Well, that's why you did leave us here, to go and be Puritans. So you're at least keeping up your end of the bargain. Max, we have questions we always ask new guests on the show. They're very easy. Don't worry about it. What's your favorite game?
That's not an easy question at all.
You have to do it.
It's one of the Metal Gear Solids.
Yeah?
I can't pick one.
That's fine.
I like 2. I like 5. 5 is broken as hell. He didn't finish it.
I saw the
3 is objectively the best one.
Yeah. The weirdly recurring think piece that pops up every now and then going like, you don't actually like Metal Gear Solid 2. Yes, I do. Metal Gear Solid 2 is fucking brilliant.
I changed my answer. My answer is my favorite video game ever is the Tanker Mission demo disc that came with Zone of the Enders.
That was incredible. Favorite movie?
God damn it. These are not easy questions. Short answer, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
That's an easy one, I think.
It's a good film.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah.
I remember the last time I watched that was in your hotel room at Star Wars Celebration. And I remember us all crowding around the TV and getting drunk and watching Empire
That's
Strikes Back.
That's a
good
thing to do.
It was such a lovely experience. Yeah. And your favorite TV show?
Simpsons, maybe? I don't know. That's an easy...
That's good.
You know, seasons 3 through 7 or whatever.
Yeah. And have you seen the film The Prestige, and what did you think of it?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I think it's all right. I know it's
dangerous.
I think it's good. I think I have Nolan hype fatigue.
Okay.
I think that the discussion around Nolan has just, it's ad nauseum, you know, and it's not my favorite of his.
Neither is it mine.
You're all wrong.
It's my second favorite.
That's fine.
I think it should have been called Batman versus Wolverine as magicians.
Yeah, Wizard Battle, I believe, was Rory's brother's title for it. It's about these two wizards having a battle. Fucking hell. As we've said before, that's the perfect pitch for Rory.
Yeah.
So that's good. Well, satisfactory answers. You don't like the Prestige as much as you should. That's fine.
You did okay.
Let's talk films, if we're on that.
Films.
Stint.
I like films.
Yeah, you've just been away.
You
went to a foreign country.
Yes, the
American
they're still
states.
They're still letting me there. Why do they let me in, Max?
I don't know. There's worse people there, probably.
That is true.
Yeah, that is definitely true.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Yes.
3.
I didn't go to the country that How to Train Your Dragon is set in, which Viking land.
Yeah. Is that what it's actually called?
No. No. Oh. That's the Isle of Burke, which is quite good as well.
Burke. Because we can swear, should we talk about the etymology of the word Burke as used by British people? Have you heard the word Burke?
Yeah.
It's like a sort of...
Just call someone an idiot.
Yeah, it's just like, you're Burke. Yeah. It actually comes from rhyming slang, Berkshire Hunt, cunt.
And
so I used to get called a Burke by teachers at school and just found out later on that they were all calling me a cunt.
Wow.
It's quite something.
Yeah, probably suits you though, doesn't it?
Thank you.
No, I went to Los Angeles in California.
Yeah.
It was warm there. It's not at the moment here, is it?
Oh my God.
Is this what you're not enjoying this?
No.
I'm still a little jet lagged. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
No, I luckily got to visit DreamWorks Animation Studio, which is incredible. What a place. They have Shrek in the front door.
Do they actually?
Yeah, statue. Doesn't exist. But
full color?
Full color, yeah.
My dad at the moment is living in Nepal for reasons of political prisonership. No, he's just there for work. And he recently went to a Nepalese theme park called Whoopiland, and he sent me a picture of the off-brand Shrek they have waving you in.
Oh, yes.
It's fucking amazing. It's just this like statue of a really thin Shrek.
I
just
have
waving.
Dozens of photographs on my phone of bootleg Shrek things.
Oh, I'll send
Shrek
this one over. Incredible. It's quite something.
I sometimes, if I'm sad, I just search Shrek cakes. And then, fun fact, there's no such thing as a nice-looking Shrek cake.
Shrek is love, Shrek is life.
Yeah.
That is lovely.
But yeah, I also saw Po from Kung Fu Panda.
Underrated, those
ones. The main reason I was there was because there's a new How to Train Your Dragon out in the UK next week, 1st of February. Is that next week? I've lost track of all the time.
Yeah, it's next Friday.
Yeah. It's not out to US till like late February, so...
It's bizarre.
It's weird.
Sorry, mate.
Slowly.
It's been Australia for a month.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
It was winter.
What's it about? have either of you seen the first two How to Train Your Dragons?
I've seen the first.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yeah. Second one's really good.
Yeah, I've heard that.
First one's good. Second one I really liked.
Mm.
And this third one is brilliant.
It's the best of the three.
Absolutely loved it. I would say so. That and two are very close, I'd say.
Okay.
It just wraps... So it's actually the conclusion of a trilogy. They're actually ending it, which is... Not what... Toy Story kind of did, but they've come back.
Yeah.
But,
that's a surprising move on DreamWorks' part.
Yeah. But they've got the TV show, right? So
true,
maybe they'll just keep doing that.
It's a really good ending. It wraps it up really well, which is quite impressive. I wasn't expecting that.
Oh.
It's a really emotional ending. So I was sitting in this
Dragon fucking dies.
Yeah. As you imagine, in DreamWorks, they have this incredible cinema with the best sound system I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And it's a big, like, I don't know, 200 or 300 seat theatre.
It was just you.
It was just me.
That's
sitting
so
in there.
Good.
It was
the
incredible.
Life of a critic.
At 9 a.m., go in there, in dark, kind of half... I was actually surprisingly awake, but just last 10 minutes I was almost tearing up by myself in a cinema.
That's lovely.
And I was, because it was like, obviously it's a theatre where they do like screenings and reviews for the film, inside house, you know, if it's going well with people. I was very conscious of smiling at the right bits and looking emotional and trying not to look at my phone because I just had it in my head that someone was watching me the whole time.
They definitely
thinking,
would have been
what's
as well.
His reaction to this bit?
That is a side of going to press screenings and stuff that no one talks about. It's
very self-conscious.
Yeah, yeah. And then you get like PR people afterwards being like, so,
yep.
What'd you think?
But weird thing with films they don't do with games is that the PRs will send you an email afterwards being like, what's your feedback? And it's like, sometimes I don't want to say.
But I'm too polite. Whatever I go see, whether it's a game or a film, if a PR or a person who's made it asks me what do I think, I always say, I liked it.
Fantastic.
I'm too polite to say,
this game has now been put on indefinite hiatus, so who gives a shit? I saw the EVE FPS Project Nova and gave it quite a poor previewing.
Yeah.
Verdict, but I made the mistake of one of the guys came up to me afterwards, like, "Oh, what do you think of the game?" I was like, "Yeah, it's interesting. Yes, yeah, it's just really
interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's good ideas."
Yeah.
So, so obviously hated it.
I genuinely loved How to Train Dragon 3. It's the best of the three, I think.
Mm.
And yeah, I can't say too much about spoiling the film because if you love that series, which I only watched the first two over Christmas because I knew I was doing this, and I was pleasantly surprised with how good they are.
And we've got some primo content.
Yeah, next week
I got
to speak to the director. Said director really weirdly. The Head of design, so I've got a feature on the town of Bert. Well, that's the cool. Isle of Bert.
Imagine, I'd love
and
to
the
be
head of character animation.
Head of design for like a fantasy film must be fucking wicked. Yeah. Like,
they mimic the dragon's movements after a cat, right?
Well, that's actually one of my features. How real life animals created dragons. Not they didn't create them, you know, influenced.
just let a dog walk over a laptop.
I don't want to spoil that feature, yeah, but there's like a dozen different animals when it's some of like the first drawing of the new dragon, which is the light figure in the film. The first story is based on a lemur.
That's cool.
A lemur and a lioness and also a South American lizard. Like a salamander.
That's cool.
That's great.
It all combined to create this thing.
I enjoyed the first one. I remember being, you know, pleasantly surprised. Mm. But I remember the dragon just being really endearing.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a series that's definitely sort of gotten some momentum. And maybe, I don't know. I think it's gonna have that Shrek effect where you quietly realize an entire generation grew up with it.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this isn't like an ironic appreciation. People genuinely love this.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I think if I was like 10, 11 years old now, it would be my Toy Story.
Yeah, I could see that.
That sort of trilogy I've grown up with.
I still find it weird that Jay Baruchel was allowed to become a leading man in a Hollywood motion
picture. He's perfect for it.
Yeah, he basically
plays himself.
But I can't stand him whenever I see him in stuff, and then he seems quite good in this.
No, but
fair play to him.
He's proved me wrong. Time. And DreamWorks is an incredible place. It's like being basically a university where everyone is just animating all day. It's amazing.
Because you always see Pixar. I've never seen DreamWorks. Is it like that campusy?
Yeah, it's a big I got a tour of the campus. They have you can go and have art drawing classes. They have yoga during the day classes.
They've got people on Segways going around.
Mm. The free lunch was incredible. They got so many options.
Coca-Cola in the taps.
Does everybody make that same shit-eating grin that's on all the boxes of their movies?
No, everyone looks absolutely miserable with their life. No.
That'd be haunting though if you went there and it was like a being John Malkovich thing, but everyone's just doing the B movie face.
Yeah,
it's that same grinning donkey face.
Was B movie
was
DreamWorks?
I think
thing?
It was
because the more I've never seen that film, and the more I hear about it, the more I think I should definitely see B movie.
That one. Whereas I think there are people who genuinely do love the Shrek films. Mm. I think B movie, no one has ever loved it, and it just became a strange meme.
Because it is about a bee falling in love and having an actual relationship with a human woman, isn't it?
Is it?
I don't know.
I think that's what happens. Because you hear people talk about it like it's one of the most baffling films that's ever happened. It's like
I'm very intrigued now.
Seinfeld's bee falls in love with a full-size human woman and they start a relationship.
I did have a couple of awkward moments where I was given the full hour tour of the campus, and along the way the guy was like, so have you seen Boss Baby? And I was like, no, I haven't. He's like, well... Oh, it doesn't matter anyway. Here's some drawings from that, and then
I watched Boss Baby.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I think I got blind drunk in the process.
Yes,
it's one of those things that just becomes like unthinkable. Like someone will tell you things that happen in it, and you're like, no, you're fucking with me. That's not what happens in the film, and you see it, and you're like, that was 100% correct. That was a true.
That's amazing. Why I have positive feelings about Suicide Squad, because I was fucked watching it and it was great.
And a similar thing, like he didn't mention Madagascar or Kung Fu Panda to me or Shrek.
Yeah.
So the next one he mentioned, we were outside in a little, they have like a waterfall which drowns out the freeway noise, which is really clever. So it's like soothing. And by this little lake they have, he was like, so have you seen Turbo? And I was like,
Jesus.
I was like, sorry. He's like, do you know what it's about? I'm like, isn't it about racing snails? And it's like, exactly. And it was like, when they were animating this, round on this little rock here was where they dropped lots of snails and basically drew the snails for their movement for the animation. I was like, is there a lot of animation in a snail movement? It's just kind of sliding along.
The most exciting anecdote ever told about Turbo.
Well, this is the thing that he told me. Half the team were stuck on the rock at campus drawing snails as they slowly move. The other half were at the Indy 500 because it's about a snail basically doing the equivalent of the Indy 500 is what I believe. So they were all at that incredible event watching that, and the other half were at home drawing snails.
That sounds like just a bizarre would you rather. Would you rather watch snails or be at the Indy 500? And I would really prefer to do neither.
But yeah, How to Train Your Dragon is, I would give it 2 thumbs up.
Nice.
That's my new scale. And that's a maximum because I only have 2 thumbs.
You're absolutely right.
It's a novel scale.
Speaking of foreign climes, we went to Japan, didn't we?
We did as well. I've had a busy few months.
Yeah, we went at the end of last year and we went we can now say arbitrarily that we saw Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yes. We went to Studio Inner Sight.
we went to a Square Enix studio. We met Tetsuya Nomura.
Yes.
Who's an interesting man. Mm-hmm. And he's singular. There's no one else like Nomura. I'm going to stop there. For fear of giving away my true feelings.
You never would have guessed it by the completely normal and predictable series Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
Which doesn't deviate at all from strange normal.
Normalcy.
I can't even talk about Kingdom Hearts because I'm just scared of the fan base becoming angry with me.
Oh, it's fine.
It's well, that's the thing. The centerpiece of our trip was, unfortunately, we didn't get to play it. Because, I don't know. But we got to see the co-director, Yasue, play three different worlds, four different worlds.
We got Tangled, Pirates of the Caribbean, Toy Story. I think that was it, wasn't it?
And Frozen,
yeah.
Go. And as someone who's like sort of interested in that series from a, oh my God, how is this still being made? Like, this is quite literally, I think this is honestly the weirdest and biggest licensing operation in human history. Like, that's always been my interest. Just watching it be played, I was like, fuck this. I forget that this is like a good game at the same time. Like, it's a really fun action
RPG. It's like
30
different games in one, isn't it? It's mental.
It just keeps switching genre every 5 seconds. And then just, like, it really handles... It seems to be going like a step beyond where Final Fantasy XV was, which is like, we can't abandon what everyone remembers Final Fantasy combat being, but we can turn it into like an event that you're taking part in as opposed to just directing. And this one pushes that further by just making your abilities, every so often a new ability will just pop up. I'm sure there's a reason for it. I don't know why. And when you press the button, incredible things happen. Like a fucking pirate ship made of lights appears and it becomes a mini game about swinging it as hard as possible.
Rapunzel's tower just appears from the floor.
Yeah, or Wreck-It Ralph
kills everyone around.
Yeah, and you play as Wreck-It Ralph smashing the floor and making blocks appear that then explode. And it's like, this is fucking cool. Like, they've really nailed making combat in a JRPG, or what used to be a JRPG, into something like genuinely different.
I'm curious about this one.
Yeah.
You know, because I think mechanically, just as just a feat of creation, it's up there with like Smash Bros, where you're like, how did you get all these people in here? There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
But I've always had my own sort of misgivings about the mixture of Disney and Square stuff. Mm. Mm. Which is the whole point, and some people love it, and some people are fine with it. And for me, it's always been like, man, I don't like it.
Yeah,
I won't overcome that to actually experience the game. And I'm just at this point, I'm just like, you know what? I know this is the worst part to jump on. This is the absolute. It probably won't make any sense from what I understand. It doesn't make a lot of sense, even if you have been playing everything. I don't know, but I don't know. Like it feels kind of kinky almost to just be like I think I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to spark this, spice things up in the living room.
Fuck you, Dad. I'm playing as Goofy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, everyone, the sort of the hype surrounding it has been really just fascinating to watch. Are you a big fan of it? Or?
No, like, I played the first one years and years ago, and then I've just watched in increasing bafflement by it. And, like I said, the thing that's always interested me is, like, I can't believe this is being made, and they're getting permission to do this. So, like, a lot of our interviews, we talked to a character creation team, the animation team, and most of my questions were just, like, what is it like working with Disney when you have to turn Rapunzel into like a killing machine? Like, what does that mean? And how do you pitch it?
But like, they're almost recreating cutscenes from Monsters, Inc. and making them look better than they did.
That's
because
it.
The technology is better these days than Pixar had.
There are scenes that replicate the films that now look better. And so I said, like, is there a thing where you're not allowed to look better than Pixar or Disney? Do they make you scale back what you do? And they're like, no, the point is that Pixar or Disney become more controlling about making it look as good as they could make it look now. So they're like creating fantasy Pixar stuff. And to the point where one person told me, we were showing the Monsters, Inc. team, the wider Monsters, Inc. team, a cutscene, and people walked in the room and were like, is there a new movie? Like, they genuinely didn't realize that it was game technology.
Write that on the box.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing.
That's impressive, yeah.
I love the anecdote about how Donald Duck look in the Pirates of the Caribbean world. So the Pirates of the Caribbean world, they're trying to make look, as opposed to the other worlds, which are obviously animated, Pirates of the Caribbean, they're trying to make look as realistic as possible. And they tried to make a realistic Donald Duck which looks terrifying.
Yeah.
They Detective Pikachu'd him.
Yeah. they said, like, these Donald and Goofy are in that world. We got them to say they are the most realistic official depictions of Donald Duck and Goofy ever made.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on Beyond, and Dornbush was talking about that, and I think that might be the selling point of this game for me. Yeah. I think that might be when I just changed my mind of I will not play this game too. No, I will actually play this game. Yeah. Is that Donald Duck has never been so realistic.
Yeah, he's got individual feathers and like a textured beak.
But they originally gave him like really bulbous eyes, and we sadly didn't get to see that drawing, but I want to see it.
They said like we had a point where they were so realistic that people kept calling them creepy, so we had to scale back.
They made a Donald
back.
Duck so realistic it drove a man insane.
Yeah, there's a guy just under the office in a basement just screaming.
Just quacking. Just
I love, I just like this Lovecraftian Donald Duck that drives you mad upon looking at it.
We were talking about Sin City yesterday. I bet he screams like that woman who has her hands eaten. She made me watch!
Jesus.
I haven't thought about that in 10 years.
Yeah. I can't remember. Oh, we were talking about Robert Rodriguez. That's why. What a weird career that man's had. Yeah. Anyway, that's Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm. It actually looks interesting. I can't believe it.
Very much. It's out next week. That's mad, isn't it?
After 14 years. Yeah, it's insane.
Is it 14?
Yeah. There was an amazing... when we went into the interview with Yasuo, the co-director, I was like, oh, how are you feeling? Like, it's nearly done. He's like, yeah, it's been a while. I can't imagine what it must be like to work that long on one thing. Because he's been there the whole time.
Well, they start on 4 soon, won't they? imagine what's that one going to be, like Marvel and Star Wars?
Yeah, I hope so. That would be really good.
I think it's going to be like
30 years.
It's going to be like a Smash Ultimate scenario.
Imagine if we found out.
What do you add? Like, what do you...
Imagine if we found out that's what the Avengers project is at Square Enix.
That would be incredible.
So the thing that blows my mind about this, and I'm a complete and utter like hypocrite because I'm a Metal Gear fan, and it's one of those things where you're like, where do you start? And also, what is this nonsense?
Yeah.
There's like no good jumping on point. Mm. But with Kingdom Hearts, for it to be attached to the most, arguably the most sort of like accessible and casual of properties, like, you know, Disney is like, it's a duck and a dog. You know, it's like, it's kids movies. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, once you consume them, that's the extent of the lore. To pair that with such just deeply complex and like long-winded, twisty-turny backstory. It seems completely odd. And for Disney to be like, yeah, go ahead. It's been 14 years making this. And for Square to be like, yeah, we're doing this.
It does feel like they signed a contract at some point 20 years ago that still holds true. It's like, you have to let us keep using your characters for this mad, like... Yeah.
Do you think they'd ever? Shit. I mean, they wouldn't ever reboot it. You couldn't.
I don't think it's possible at this point. Like, but he keeps saying this is the end of the Darkseeker saga, which means there could be any number of other Kingdom Hearts sagas. Like, he will keep making this till he's dead. Like, and then it will stop because he told me no one's allowed to make it unless it's me making it.
I'm looking forward to it just because I know there's so much mad stuff I haven't seen yet.
Yeah,
because I've steered clear of all the spoilers. Not that. Even if I read the full script to that game, I wouldn't know what's going on. No. So it's not going to spoil anything for me.
Yeah. But there is a bit of me that's almost like, if I didn't watch the cutscenes to this game, would I become more invested in it? Because then it's all my story. Not having to like try and work out what Zayahort is.
What is that game if you don't pay attention to the story? Is it fun?
It's a series of... Fights.
Just sandbox levels in Disney World. It's got to be fun.
It does actually sound quite
great.
Good.
Maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe I'll be one of those insufferable people who's like, yeah, I skipped the cutscenes.
That sounds quite good. Anyway, I'm excited for that. I'm also quite excited for Far Cry New Dawn, which I got to play last week. Because 5 never really clicked with me.
Didn't with me either. I didn't finish it.
This is 5. This is essentially 5's world, but way more colourful. And it has every right to be as stupid as it is, as opposed to Far Cry 5, which felt like quite bad satire most of the time.
I couldn't make sense of Far Cry 5. It felt both like reaching too hard to be relevant, but also pulled its punches.
Yeah, and like it never decided to have an opinion despite expressing one all the time through all its different characters. And then there was the man who just ate bull's testicles.
Yeah.
That was quite good.
I did like that part where you had to harvest them. That was
very strange.
That was when it veered into Saints Row territory.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm excited about this one because Drew Holmes, who... he worked on 5. I feel like the bull testicle thing might very well have been him. Mm-hmm. Before that, he worked on Bioshock Infinite and Saints Row the 3rd. Mm. So you can kind of sort of track his relationship with American culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think this is the first one that he's in like an executive writing position or something. So this one could get very weird.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of bits already, like returning to the island where 5 starts with the whole church and stuff. Something weird is going on there, and it goes into full-on Far Cry hallucinations straight away as soon as you get there. And, like, that's all good fun. And it feels like that's, like, a subplot amidst the wider game. Like, what happened to, what was he called, Joseph Seed and all his cult business.
Isn't he still alive, or...
He's in the trailer, isn't he?
Well, there's a poster of him up on the wall, but I don't know whether he's still in that world somewhere. But it has a load of characters aged 17 years who are still around.
It has this whole... It is just the map from Far Cry 5, isn't it? Re-skinned effectively.
And there's like bomb craters everywhere and radiation areas and
stuff.
Doesn't
he also have these mad little expeditions like Alcatraz in places?
So I didn't get to see Alcatraz, but there are like... There's a French Canadian man who has a little plane, no, a little helicopter called La Grande Patate that he's very proud of, and he'll fly you to just individual tiny maps that are essentially like fighting fetch quests. You get to a point on the map, you steal a thing, and then you have to get to an extraction zone, and everyone knows where you are, so you can stealth all the way in, but you can't stealth the way out. And so the first one's a like an aircraft carrier, so you can zip line onto this aircraft carrier that's covered in goons, and they're like driving cars around the deck and stuff, which is really cool. And then you steal this thing, but it's in the basement of the ship. You have to fight all your way back up to the ship. And then what became very clear to me was what it wants you to do is steal one of those cars and drive it off the ramp into the sea and parachute onto the beach where you get picked up. And it's proper action movie shit.
That sounds fun as hell.
It's a really good idea, and I'm surprised they haven't done it before. Like, as soon as they do it, you go, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense.
That sounds a bit like some of the missions in Far Cry 3, I feel like.
Did they go to like individual places?
No,
I don't remember.
Not like separate places. I'm just, there's that one mission. Far Cry 3 is definitely one of my favorite games ever. I love that game. But there's that one where there's a big like gutted boat that they're all the pirates and stuff are hanging out in.
Oh yeah.
I'm just associating beaches and boats here.
Yeah.
That sounds... I saw a headline on IGN about how like it's changing the outpost system. Is that what that's referring to?
So that's a separate thing, which is every time you take an outpost now, you can take it and have it as normal, and it's kind of easy. And then you can go to a desk in that place, and it says scavenge. And it makes no sense in terms of what actually happens. But essentially, your people leave. You get a reward of some currency. And then when you go back again, that outpost has leveled up. And so there are more people, and they're all stronger with better gear, but you get more for taking it. And it goes to level 3, and level 3 is fucking insanely hard.
Oh.
So it just lets you play increasingly difficult versions of outposts, which is a nice idea, because it just makes... They're almost always the most fun parts of a modern Far Cry game.
And most importantly, don't you have a pig as an ally?
You can get Horatio the Wild Boar as a friend. He's really good. He's got a proper fuzzy snout.
Is he just like... maul people.
He's just
tusks.
A bulldozer. Yeah. So like you've got a dog companion again, which is a Shiba Inu in this one. No, an Akita, which is wicked, called Timber. And he'll do the standard thing of like marking and occasionally taking one out. Whereas Horatio's just like, fuck him up, Horatio.
He's kind of the stand-in for Hamburger the Bear.
Yeah. And then, yeah, so that's like good fun. And yeah, just like lots of little bits and pieces that feel like, oh, it's Far Cry 5, but without the trying to make a point. And I really like that.
I've developed a habit with recent Ubisoft games of just skipping one or two and coming back, and it's immensely rewarding.
Yeah,
it's tricky if there's any kind of serialized plot stuff, which doesn't really work for Assassin's Creed, but for Far Cry, it's great, you know. And I think that I don't know, you notice the little nudges that they make to different systems and tweaks here and there.
I guess because they're always making two at once, generally of each franchise. Like, at least Assassin's Creed and Far Cry, they're always simultaneously making two at some point, which means if you skip two, then you've got over the hump where they're making the same thing, sort of, like Odyssey and Origins. Like the next one will be different. It's why I'm a bit sad I missed Watch Dogs 2, because I bet that doesn't feel that as good now. I know, you really love it.
I skipped Watch Dogs 1, and I love 2. Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I played Assassin's Creed Origins, and I didn't jump into Odyssey.
Yeah,
everyone is like, Odyssey is the best.
Yeah, Odyssey is much better, yeah. But yeah, I'm interested. I still think I'm more excited for Rage 2 because it feels like a very similar plot, and I bet they're really upset that Far Cry New Dawn's getting in first. But it's an id shooter and an Avalanche open world, which kind of that feels a bit more reactive to me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the story's going to be like. So
it's a brand new thing from the ground up.
Yeah.
Whereas Far Cry, we know fairly well what that is.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's everything we're going to talk about. Dale's not here. But he's going to be here in your ear in a second.
Going to throw to him live.
Going to throw to him, let's say live.
Let's have a bit of fun
in a haunted maze. Resident Evil.
Hello, guys. I'm at the Resident Evil Experience here, and I'm currently in the waiting room. And I've just found out that I'm probably going through this on my own, and there's going to be someone else holding a torch. So, shitting my pants right now. I'll catch back up with you when I'm in. Right, off we go. Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Oh my God. Right. Oh my God. Who are you?
Are we alone?
Are any of you injured?
No.
No, we're good. We're good.
Are you bitten?
Wait, right there.
What do you mean bitten? What's going on here? I thought it was a police station. Are you okay? Do you need a hand?
Paul, this is Officer Ridley. I have survivors on level 1. Can you dispatch pickup? Over. You wait.
That is a negative, officer. We do not send an armed escort. Make their way to the roof. I repeat, to the roof. Over.
Okay, wait a second. You're going to have to do this by yourselves. Do you understand?
Yes, yes.
Take this.
Thank you.
Give me your hand. Give me your hand. Go. Oh, no, Jesus. I'm going to show you something over here.
Okay,
okay. All right. Train the flashlight on the schematic, okay?
Oh, my God. Right, okay. I see. So we're looking at a map.
Okay, focus down. We're here, okay?
Okay.
They're collecting survivors in the safe house on level 4. You're going to go through this door and through the next door immediately opposite, which will lead to the office. You find my desk, Ridley. That's me, okay? In my desk, there is a key to access the roof. You go straight through, and it will lead you to this door here. From there, you unlock the door and go straight up. Do you understand?
Yes.
Can you hear it?
Were you listening? Because I wasn't.
Press the side button here.
Yeah.
Press it hard. Okay, when it makes that sound, you can try to talk to control.
Okay.
They'll help you as much as you can. You go through now. Okay, there's not much time.
You gonna be all right?
I can't come with you. Just go quickly.
Okay, who's got the flashlight? Go forward.
Good luck, Ridley.
Yeah, see you later, Ridley. Okay, where did she say we got to go? I wasn't listening. Okay.
The music's coming from here.
It's very loud. Oh, hello.
Oh, God, this is just like...
It's like a Star's office. Oh, no, it's just an office in a police station. It's very loud in here. What did she say we had to do?
We had to get a key to the...
Ridley's desk. Okay, let's try and find Ridley's desk.
Oh my God, somebody!
If you look for the names, like you see, they've got the name card things.
Yeah.
So Ridley, which one's it? Oh my God, that's cool.
Officer Ridley.
Hey, we found Officer Ridley's desk. She's got a floppy disk. Who has a floppy disk? Oh wait, it's 1998. I forgot. Okay. Officer Ridley, what's it? No, we should check the other side. Oh my God, this is tense. Very loud.
The music's freaking me out.
Oh, found a key. Found
yes!
a key. There we go.
Key.
Right.
Do you
want to
hold the key or should I hold the key?
You got the key.
I mean, what's the key for?
Oh, right.
Is
that fine?
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Where's the phone? Oh.
It's over here and I don't like it.
Okay, we just entered another hallway and there's a flashing red light. Oh, and there's an old school phone. Should we answer the phone? Oh, jeez. Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow.
Right. Okay, lock the door. I am face to face with a zombie right now. It's very intense. Oh my god. Okay, I'm gonna back out of this. Oh god! He's got a shotgun! Oh, I'm in. You alright?
How did you get this deep in the building?
We found a key.
Ridley. She didn't make it, man. She's gone.
Wait, she was alright, wasn't she?
Oh, maybe she was. Are you guys okay?
Yes, we're good for now.
I'm guessing you just met Joe, right?
Oh, okay.
Oh, we didn't trade names.
Well, consider that a good thing. Listen, we don't know what the fuck is going on here, but they're either sick, alive, dead. We don't even know if they're human, okay? But we know that they're dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay. Flynn, you're gonna want to come and take a look at this. Flynn, I have civilians. Come, copy.
Is he all right? They tried to bite me. What's that all about?
Shh,
all right, sorry.
I just need to find my buddy Flynn first.
Okay.
Shh.
It's not a laughing matter.
Jesus fucking Christ! You people need to be more careful. And you blew your goddamn heads off. Hey, turn the light off.
What is gonna?
Shh.
Oh, okay.
Flynn? Fuck. Okay, listen. Get behind me, stay close, keep your eyes open, and keep quiet.
Okay. Check your corners.
Wait for my signal.
It's dark.
Oh, alright, okay.
It's okay.
Alright, we're in a new room now, and this is very tense. It's got a shotgun, though, so I think we're cool.
He knows what he's
doing. Yeah, he's got it. Okay, we're close.
Shh, keep quiet, buddy. Give me the first one.
Oh my god. Oh my god, there's an arm.
Oh.
That's not good.
Someone's unarmed.
Where's the rest of it?
Shut up.
Oh my god. Don't go too close.
Okay. Oh. Hey, you. What's your name?
Dale. Oh, sorry.
Fiona, I'm going to need you to be really brave, Fiona.
Oh, come on, Fiona.
You can do it. I need you to slowly lift it for me.
He's all right. He's got you covered with a shotgun. You're cool. Be brave.
He knows what he's doing.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All right. You guys make sure nothing comes up behind us.
Okay.
Get the fuck out of here. Follow you.
Oh, wait. Come on the rear. Come on the rear.
Wait here.
Wait here.
Wait here.
I feel like we're in a bad position here.
Oh, against the wall.
Against the wall, okay. Oh my god.
I'm scared, Dale.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Is anybody hurt?
No, not yet.
No.
Oh my god.
Oh, no. Hey, Fiona, listen. I trust you now, okay?
Okay.
Hold this light, stay here. Guide the way. Stay here.
Fiona, stay here. So the policeman's approaching this weird woman and he's got a shotgun.
I mean, I've been on worse days.
It's a...
Jesus Christ, Flynn, is that you?
Oh, it's his mate.
What the fuck have you been up here looking for you all over? Because I have civilians.
Be careful.
Where's all your gear?
Oh, God. Uh-oh, it's a zombie.
Oh, stay the fuck where you are. I swear to God, I'll pull your fucking head off. Flynn, can you hear me? It's me. It's Drake.
Do it. Oh, okay. No, that's a bad move. Oh!
Oh, he's got an
arm! Oh my god!
Watch it this way! Okay, keep going!
Oh my god, we gotta run! We're running!
Ah!
What the fuck is that?
Don't stop!
I'm not stopping!
Go! Oh!
There's
another one!
You've got a gun, use it!
Jesus!
Oh.
Oh
my god, okay.
Who needs that wall?
Okay.
Stay there, please. Okay. Is there anyone else?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. You are tools up, aren't you? Okay. Get them treated, Doc.
Okay. Any bites?
No, but no bites. No, no. I think we're all good.
We're all good.
Okay, yeah.
We're gonna get fixed up.
Okay.
So you're lucky to get here. We've lost a lot of good people over the last couple of days. We need you to stay there. Can you turn your hands? Turn anything on your hands? Okay. Is anyone a vegetarian?
No.
No.
Carnivore. Okay.
Okay, alright. This is very intense.
How was it?
We just said we'd not been bitten. Why are we having an anti-
Keep your eyes on me. Yep. I need you to take this.
Why have I got to take this if I haven't been bitten?
Oh, he's suspicious.
Hold okay, time. Listen up. He this kept is going to kick him for an hour, okay?
Okay.
We need you to take this seriously. Okay?
I am taking it seriously. I'm just, it's a genuine question.
I think he was bitten.
What? You little snitch!
Easy, back, closer!
Accidents happen when this happens. I need you to drink this. It's going to kick in within an hour, all right?
So I've got to drink this vial. Okay.
Drink that vial.
Do it now.
Okay, it's very hard to do with a camera in my hand. So.
Okay.
That's right.
I got it.
Right, I'm going to drink the vial.
Okay, 18,
ready?
26. Okay. Get it down, you.
Cheers.
Cheers. Okay, oh great. Can now leave. Ah. 1826.
Was had a little bit of a nasty kick, that one. What actually was it? Oh, lovely. That was the end. That was quite intense, but I survived and now I'm at the party. So back to you guys in the studio. Ta-ra.
Resident Evil 2.
Right, quiz time. So Max, we used to have a quiz called Keyword Countdown that a certain Gav Murphy invented. And everyone loved Keyword Countdown. And then he left and we can't use it anymore. So we now have a feature called The Endless Search, which is us looking for a game that can be as good as Keyword Countdown. And our readers send us in quizzes every week and we play them and then we assess them. It's your turn to be the quizmaster this week.
It is.
Cardi.
PG Tips.
Time for PG Tips!
Oh my, that's fruity.
Time for a nice cup of PG.
It's PG, pick the youngest, freshest tips of the tea bush.
Yes.
No.
Yes, yes,
no, no.
Yes.
Stop saying yes.
Stop it. Let me have my phone. Everyone loves it. It's the best bit of the podcast when I say yes.
You
four
said
times.
That about your Football Manager feature and people wrote in complaints.
Yeah, but also people like it.
Unbelievable.
So, you know. I'm a very polarizing individual.
You are. That is true.
This week's quiz format, Joe.
Yes.
It's called PG Tips, as you may have heard in the jingle.
Okay.
It's from Richard in Pontypridd.
We were talking about Pontypridd yesterday.
We were, because Gav was telling us a story about like a hoax terrorist attack in Pontypridd.
His friend said he said there was going to be a terrorist attack in Pontypridd in South Wales. That's weird.
Ooh, yeah, that was a fun story. But thank you, Richard, because it's a good quiz format. It kind of riffs off one we're familiar with, Joe.
Is it Keyword Countdown?
You be the judge of that. So here's the explanation. I've adapted it ever so slightly.
Okay.
But it's still a good game, Richard. Thank you very much. So IMD provides parents with some crazy guidance.
IMDb.
IMDb, yeah.
Yeah.
And actual, I think you can
just you can the go public to the BBC, add it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and on IMDb, yeah, they have the parental advisory section.
Oh, I
film,
see, right.
Where I think it's part official, part just users adding in their own parental guidance
that
for films.
That sounds good.
So this game is to guess the film from the parental guidance entries. I will read out five entries for each film. The sooner you get it, the more points you get. Five after the first, four after the second, and so on.
Yeah.
The winner is the most points after five films. And yes, there is a link between all five films for a bonus point.
Okay.
Are you ready?
So there's five clues.
Five clues for five films.
Okay.
So film number one. There is some objectification of male muscles with exposed arms and torsos.
Pain and Gain?
No. Oh, no.
Thor Ragnarok?
No. Oh. There is a big fight sequence with aliens. Many aliens are killed, and blood can be seen oozing from them.
Is it Infinity War?
It is Infinity War.
Oh!
That's you coming quick there.
I was briefly outraged by all the male muscles in that film.
So the other clues I had were, number three, the ending is very depressing and hard to watch. That could be haunting some
it's
children.
It's a Disney movie. It's fine.
Clue number four would have been, someone starts to say mother, but is cut off before finishing the next word.
Oh, I was really hoping it would say, but is cut off before they can get in the inevitable fucker.
And the last one was going to be, two scenes of stylized torture in a science fiction context. Mm. A bionic woman has her various parts stretched out. Another man has thin shards of crystal poked into his face.
Yeah.
It's very specific, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
But yeah, that's 4 points to Max there. That's I haven't big. Got a pen, but I'm going to keep it in my head.
I'm most outraged by the fact that they say someone starts to say motherfucker.
Yeah.
Isn't it Nick Fury? Isn't it Sam Jackson?
Well, I've sometimes removed the characters' names, so it's not very obvious. You've given me a... What a brilliant guess.
What a pro! This game's brilliant, Richard.
This is really good.
I love this.
It is good. Clue number two. Clue number one. We see several sheep being killed with a bolt gun.
What the fuck?
There isn't an actual scene in Silence of the Lambs where you see it, is there?
Not that I know of.
No.
It's not this film. Okay, this is quite a long one, but bear with me. Clue number two. In reality, there's only about 30 minutes of on-screen violence in the 135-minute runtime, which isn't a whole lot. At the same time, the movie is a psychological horror, so if you're not afraid of any of the things that the characters are afraid of, you're not going to be very scared while you watch this, if at all.
Okay.
So there's only about half an hour of on-screen violence in the 135-minute runtime. That's a bit of a clue there if you know your film runtimes. I'll give you a few seconds.
Violence. And sheep getting killed.
A bolt gun?
I'm going for clue number three. The kids throw away their school books and one of them says it's the best feeling ever. One of the boys replies...
Is it?
It is it.
Oh, of course.
It is it.
Nice.
One of the boys replies, try tickling your pickle for the first time, which is a metaphor for masturbation.
I love the idea of parents being objecting to a masturbation reference in Stephen King's It.
Yeah. Clue number four was, a 13-year-old child's stomach is clawed, showing some claw marks.
Mm.
It would do, wouldn't it? It's been clawed. And the last clue, people who have a fear of clowns should avoid this movie like the plague.
Yeah, fair enough.
Max is on fire.
Yeah, I'm getting...
Yeah, come on, Drew. You're letting down.
I am.
Nice to be British.
Keyword countdown.
Every British person.
I need to watch that movie again.
Oh, it's really
good. I've seen it a couple of times.
Yeah, it's good. Can't wait for chapter two.
I saw it in theaters, and I'm kind of a scaredy cat when it comes to movies. Mm. And definitely had some drinks in the theater because I was frightened by the mummy and things like that.
Film number three. At worst, idiot, stupid, bozo, dirtbag, and creep are used as insults.
At worst.
So that's a clue of what?
Bozo.
So it was the last time. Yeah, it was released in the 1960s, apparently.
Clue number two. The Phillips family owns a large pit bull dog, which often appears quite scary.
That feels like a really big clue. It's got a name of a family.
I know, but I didn't feel it's well known enough. The family.
His worst
language. Is it Toy Story?
It is Toy Story.
Motherfucker! Is he Sid Phillips?
He is Sid Phillips.
Holy shit.
This is an incredible performance.
Unbelievable.
I'm very proud of myself.
Getting trounced.
I want to hear the rest of these.
Yeah. Number three. A character slaps another character in the face with a dismembered arm.
That's true.
Number four. Andy's mum wears a lot of tight clothes, which can show some cleavage.
What?
I've never noticed that, I have to say,
Andy's
in Toy Story.
Mum's objectifying in Toy Story.
That feels like more of that should be in like the can I jerk off to it section on IMDb. Like, what kind of a weird, I don't think a parent wrote that. That seems like very odd. Also, what about those abomination toys that Sid has under his bed? That is clearly the most...
Clue number five. Some toys had obviously been horribly mutilated off screen.
That's quite a nice, like, humane way of thinking about it. It's not that they're scary toys to look at. It's that it's horrible that they were mutilated off screen.
But they now are, as a result, freaks.
A boy plays with fireworks.
That is true. That's right.
That wasn't
there.
On the... I'm not making them up. They weren't on the list. So, you know.
Yeah, these...
These are all genuinely
evil
there.
Parents.
Some mad people have written some of these. Film number four. There is a long scene in the morgue where a medical examiner is digging around in the insides of a corpse.
Men in Black.
It is.
Yes!
I was going to
get that.
That
straight from that?
Yeah.
That's
maybe
yeah.
I don't know fucking that film well Men enough to think of that as a scene.
It's that it was a long scene because there's like a big extended joke about him like digging around in the corpse and not seeing.
I'm going to put this out there. Not the hardest quiz, but a funny one.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, we have to go through the rest of these.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Which are quite long. All right, number two. One possible F word, but it's easy to miss. 15 anatomical terms.
Ooh.
In brackets, 3 mild, dick, prick, and ass. 18 scatological terms, crap, shit, and piss. 29 mild obscenities, 3 religious profanities, 2 religious exclamations, some minced oaths, name calling, brackets, bastard, slimy, parasite, pudgy, etc.
He does call him a pudgy bastard.
Yeah.
They've missed out. That's the film where I learned the term POS to
ooh.
Mean piece of shit.
There
so he calls it a Ford.
What's there? And clue number 3 for that one would have been, a woman is taken hostage by a man who hides behind a hospital bed. She tells another man that she wanted him to see something, and she begins to point downwards. It is implied that the man believes she was referring to her genitals. She later accuses him of not understanding sexual independence.
That's worthy of parental guidance.
Number 4, an alien dressed in a human suit is shown holding a man's head, which turns out to be fake.
And that's not the final clue.
No. Number 5 is going to be the scene where Frank the Talking Dog is being interrogated and being shook all over the place repeatedly could be a little distressing, could be a little distressing and intense for some animal lovers. I just put that one in because it was funny.
Yeah,
that's so bizarre. I think I don't want to have kids anymore.
Yes,
they will be growing up in a world where other children have had parents like this.
Yeah.
You know,
that's imagine this being a part of your day. Like you've spent time in your day just sitting down, being like, I've got to count the number of religious expletives they used in Men in Black.
Or that trumps like the part where the giant cockroach kills a man and wears his skin like a suit and you see it falling off of his body.
Yeah. It's all relevant.
It's also not even... Like, IMDb can't have really been around in the form it is now when Men in Black came out.
Not that I know.
Which means that someone has sat down to watch Men in Black to do this since release.
There's a whole website that's for... It's like it does like religious movie reviews.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, does it have? Is it good religious? Is this like a good movie? And it's like,
oh
like
God.
what are the themes that it tells you? And you know, I think like the weird euphemism is like, oh, is this a family film? You know, and it's like,
oh, it's one of those.
With one film to go, it is 11-5 to match.
So I can
so you
only
need to
win.
Get this the I've, first time and get the link for a point to
for
draw.
A draw. All right.
So the final film,
I've lost momentum.
There is quite a long shooting scene in a nightclub. The girls are wearing quite few clothes.
John Wick.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
damn it.
I could draw. I'm back in. Here we go.
Turns out the profanities are funny, but there's not many obscure ones because they're quite explicitly what's going on.
Yeah.
So number 2. 41 uses of fuck, 10 uses of shit, 3 uses of bitch, 1 obscene hand gesture. Gesture, 1 use of pussy, and 1 use of cocksucker. Someone's counting these.
It's a naughtier film than I remember it being.
Yeah. Clue number 3 was a character is attacked with baseball bats by the intruders. More upsetting than brutal. Someone's made that judgment. It's pretty brutal being attacked by baseball bats, but they found it upsetting. The next one. The main issue with the movie is the non-stop violence consisting of shooting, martial art fighting, and cars ramming into people.
Martial art.
all of the violence is stylized. Little blood can sometimes be seen during the action sequences.
There's something really pathetic about martial art fighting.
Like, you know that somebody's mom wrote that.
Yeah, exactly.
And number 5.
What's that old 70s song? Everyone was martial art fighting.
And number 5, a puppy is killed. Very sad and disturbing.
Yeah.
Which isn't wrong.
True.
So
that's why Gav hasn't seen that film.
For the link, it is currently 11 points to Max, 10 points to Joe. You get 1
point
for the
link. Yeah.
Between, and I'm going to read them out for people at home, Infinity War, It, Toy Story, Men in Black, and John Wick. Ooh, the tension. The tension. Wait, Men in Black, is it going to be a tie?
John Wick, Toy Story. Are they all in trilogies?
No.
Ah!
No, not. No,
oh, no, it no. isn't.
And Infinity War, so you know.
Well, yeah, it's more than.
I'm going to give you a little bit longer, but not long. Not long. Can you nick it?
Is it like the sound guy or something?
No, that would be brilliant. There's, do you know, my original link was going to be all five have the names of Chili's in because of Scoville, but I cannot find five films that have the names of Chili's in the title.
That is full on.
There's no habanero film.
I don't know.
They all have sequels coming out this year.
Okay.
That's a pretty front and center link. Fair play. Yeah.
I thought you were going to get it, to be honest.
Because I mentioned chapter two.
I know. Well, yeah, that was. Thank you, Richard from Pontypridd.
That was a fun game.
Fantastic
that was
concept.
Really good. We've only.
I think we had a good time. If it, you know,
we've only
easy.
Had good games so far.
Yeah.
And well, the easiness is your fault, really.
Okay.
You could have chosen harder ones if you'd led with the 41 shits. I don't think
well,
it would have been as
yeah,
many.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I was having a bit of fun
right.
at the same
it was
time.
Fun, it was great.
Lighten up, you prick.
Let's go on to let's go on to feedback. This is from Sheikh Habib. I'm not sure if I've pronounced that correctly. I apologize. This is called
a bit
from
of glitter on your cheek.
I know it's because of my glittery jumper.
Oh,
it's called Hello from Mexico. Hey guys, first time writer, 6 month old listener. You are too young for this podcast. although I have listened to your old podcast. I don't know what he means by that. Love the show. I'm a gynecologist and I listen. And now you see why I've chosen it.
How old did he say he was?
6 month old listener. No,
sorry,
no. I'm a gynecologist.
Talk about burying the lead there.
And I listen to the podcast while I'm working or doing my rounds.
Whoa.
Yeah. I feel.
While he's working.
Much more uncomfortable.
Hopefully
about,
the paperwork.
Yeah. No one should be forced to listen to this during an exam. While I'm working or doing my rounds. I actually was going to send my CV in because I think I could do an okay job on the podcast and to land
with
the job.
What?
Yeah. And to land the job of one of the three deserters. But after the last podcast where you just destroyed the underqualified people, well, I'm glad I didn't. there was an episode where Alex, who was in the midst of going through lots of CVs, had a go at people who weren't quite good up to scratch for
did
the
job. Did you ever get one that was printed on a cake?
Haven't got one printed on a cake.
Yeah. Funny thing with that is that people eat the cake and then they don't know.
You forgot the name. Oh my God. That's quite sad. Sheikh also provided a game, but we didn't have time for it today. But he has also written in to tell you the five worst movies of all time. These are the worst movies I've ever seen that come to mind while I'm writing this. It's stuck in traffic.
This is a bold move.
Five. The Lobster.
Do you know what? I need to watch it.
I really like The Lobster.
I didn't like it, but that's not the worst movie ever made.
No.
I love Killing of a Sacred Deer, though, his next one.
Yeah,
and
I do need
I
to get
do need to
that.
See The Favourite. So yeah. Something tells me I might like The Lobster.
Have you seen Dogtooth?
I haven't yet, because I feel like I need to be in the right zone to see that.
Yeah, yes. I've never really found myself wanting to watch a film about institutionalized incest, but
yeah.
One time maybe.
It's horrible. Mm. Like it's properly horrific.
Yeah.
But in a way that feels kind of claustrophobic, and The Lobster felt almost sprawling in like a sort of overwhelming
sense. Yeah, I
can
see that.
What's the other one that it came out after Dogtooth? It's not good.
Oh.
Like that's actually worse than The Lobster. The Lobster I feel like had more conviction in what it was doing. Mm. I still didn't like it, but I think it was his second movie is not great. Whatever came after Dogtooth.
Mm. Number 4. Green Hornet. I think that's fair. Lots of people hate the Green Hornet.
Yeah.
3, Snakes on a Plane. Controversial, I would say.
That's almost so bad
that
you can enjoy it.
I would argue it's not bad enough.
I know what you mean. I think that's fair. You want it to be almost more trashy.
Uh-huh.
It felt like Samuel L. Jackson almost redeemed it by being Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm. I mean, the movie was a joke. It existed as a joke. I don't.
2, The Happening. I think that's up there with a lot of people's. I've still never seen that.
No, it's another one that I just haven't watched because never has it ever been recommended to me.
Yeah.
It's really, really funny. It's really, it's genuinely a good time. There's a scene where I don't know what Mark Wahlberg is doing. I don't know what his, like, I don't know what direction he's acting in or what direction he was given. But a woman, like a scary old woman is like suspicious of him or something. And he just... He has this it's like when you're bad at LA Noir and you go from like, you know, Inquire to just Accuse, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He does that and it's just, it's Mark Wahlberg going up to 90. It's worth watching that terrible
sounds
film.
Quite fun.
Let's get on it.
And number one, the worst time of all film.
Worst time of all film. The worst time I've had with film ever.
Is House of a Thousand Corpses, which I haven't seen.
Watched it. It sounds help. A laugh.
Rob Zombie.
I think I saw that. It's not good. It's like Rob Zombie not good, though. It's still, again, it's trying to be a B-movie.
Mm. Basically, Mr. Habib doesn't like B-movies. Mm. That's what I've learned.
He also hasn't seen Catwoman, starring Halle Berry.
So it does not count.
I think this came from the question of what's the worst film you've ever seen in the cinema?
Yeah.
We were talking about, I've never walked out of a cinema, but I don't think I could. But I think the worst film I ever saw in cinema was X-Men Apocalypse. I really hated that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have an answer for that, Max.
Have
you ever walked out of a cinema?
I've never walked out because I believe in seeing car crashes through to the end. I think Spider-Man 3 remains my favorite movie-going experience because I went in my small town and everyone simultaneously realized about 10 minutes into that movie that is a bad film and just everyone started openly heckling it. And I feel bad to anybody who wasn't there for that, but we were all just like dying laughing and everyone sort of knew each other well enough that it was just like a big group Mystery Science Theater.
There was just one really guy good. In the back just going, this is a serious film.
Yeah, the Sandman's talking.
It's the guy from Sideways.
I was saying boo words.
Right, Max, would you like to read some feedback for us?
Sure, I can read.
That's the one at the bottom there. It's quite long, I apologize. I didn't cut any out.
All right. This weekend I saw Superbad for the second time. This is from Ethan Delcroix Jones.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah. This weekend I saw Superbad for the second time this month, and I must say I am absolutely in love with it. I should even say that at the tender and foolish age of 15, it is above Some Like It Hot and Hot Fuzz in my favorite comedies of all time.
Some Like It Hot at 15. Yeah. I would not have bothered.
Yeah, right? The second time I saw it was with my parents, and with my twin having pulled out of watching it at the last minute due to the fact that it would be too awkward with our parents around, I was feeling anxious about whether or not it had been a good idea in the first place. Thankfully, the film was a resounding success, and I've never been happier about my parents' opinion of a film TV show I've recommended to them since I'd shown them the brilliant first three seasons of Arrested Development.
Fair play.
With that in mind, I want to ask you whether there are any films with sex that
you'd recommend.
That would force you never under any conditions to watch with your folks, or whether as adults you're beyond that kind of behavior. I remember once watching The Darjeeling Limited with my mom and brother and hiding my face in shame behind a pillow during the sex scene. Scenes, if you count the egregious bonus features. I was going to say, that is technically a short film separately. However, in my humble opinion, I've matured a lot since then and think I could probably handle any intimate scene thrown at me as long as it isn't borderline porn.
anything I've...
I got a doozy. Yeah. I watched Mulholland Drive with my mom.
Holy shit.
I've also done that, and it's a bit of an awkward bit. Isn't it?
Yeah, that's too
but
much.
It's one of my favorite films ever. I felt like I had to show it.
My mom would always do this thing when I was sort of, you know, growing up and, you know, late high school, early college, when I still lived at home, and she would always just sort of guilt trip me into watching movies with her. You know, she'd be like, oh, I got this movie. Do you want to hang out? And I'd be like, fine, I guess. And she had some cool moments too where I remember one time, we're not particularly religious, but I did go to church growing up, and one day she's like, oh, it's Easter. I thought we should celebrate. I'm like, what? And she's like, I rented Life of Brian. I'm like, all right, that's cool, you know, do that. But she put on Before the Devil Knows You're Dead. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's Philip Seymour Hoffman and Ethan Hawke, and the opening premise of the movie is Philip Seymour Hoffman's like, hey, our parents run a jewelry store, and they're brothers, and we should rob it, and they get the insurance money, and we can be rich, which is a bad idea. Mm. And it gets worse from there, and anything that could possibly go wrong goes horribly wrong. And it's not so much that it's like sexual or bad or anything. I think there is like snorting heroin or something and probably a sex scene. But my mom made me watch that, and I was just like, I just like was upset. Like, I was too depressed to go out. I was like, why'd you put this on?
I think one for me would be, my parents have never seen The Room, but I think they'd appreciate, humor-wise, they'd appreciate how bad it is that they'd find it funny. But that film opens with such a bad sex scene.
It's got so many bad
sex
scenes.
And so, like, for that to be your introduction, it's pretty much the opening of the film, is that sex scene.
He's like, so veiny. He looks like a skin map.
I feel like I'd have to get them through that for them to enjoy the rest of it.
Yeah, that's, you just have to fast forward that bit. Oh, it's unnecessary.
So bad. When he just walks up, at the end, just gets up. Oh.
See, I think sex in films in general is like, it's not a problem. It was when I was a teenager. It's not a problem anymore.
I used to watch Law and Order every night with my mom. Mm. Special Victims Unit definitely got kind of weird, but like there was one point where they had some case about like somebody doing something involving internet porn, and she turns and looks at me and goes, "I hope you don't do any of that." And I'm just like the longest like 2 seconds of my life, and she's like, I'm like, "No, mother, of course not." And she goes, "Because I don't like it." And I was just like, I'm just like, I don't know what to tell you.
I still have terrible flashbacks to when my dad pointed to an internet history and I tried to claim it was pop-ups.
Oh, we've all had like, that moment.
There's pop-ups, couldn't do anything about it. It was on a PlayStation website.
Yeah.
That was no good. Nah. That was really horrible. Anyway, RIP Rob Celebs, my favourite website of the time.
Hey, I remember that one.
Yeah, it opened with a quote. It played an audio clip of 2001 or 2010, just said, "My God, it's full of stars."
Yes! That's why I know that quote.
Exactly! Mm. You know, everyone knows it because they were looking.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch that. I wouldn't watch that if your parents.
It was kind of the proto Mr. Skin. That was the IMDb of nudes.
In one of those, that's a good quiz format.
Yeah. one of those moments where real life is sad and weird. I randomly read that Rob from Rob Celebs had died. Like, I think it was on Twitter. Someone was like, "Anyone remember Rob Celebs?" Found out he's dead. And you're just like, I didn't need to know that Rob was with a life.
It's a good quiz format for you. Just reading out a description, move by move, of a love scene, and you have to guess what film it is.
That's a good one.
It does sound horrible, though, especially if you did it.
Tommy Wiseau's hand moves slowly down. Obviously, you don't say the person's name, but you know.
The camera pulls out to reveal that you are not looking at a plate of cold cuts, but in fact, a nude man.
I think there's no better place to leave this episode of the IGN UK podcast than with cold cut genitals. Mm. Max, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It was really fun. And until next week, farewell.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.